Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Addition Financial, offering their Savings Plus account with a 4% annual percentage yield. Serving Central Floridians since 1937 and was recently named one of Newsweek's best regional credit unions. More at additionfi.com/NPR. Applicable on savings up to $5,000. Rate subject to change, federally insured by NCUA.
From the studios at WMFE in Orlando, Florida, this is the Space Exploration Podcast that asks the question, are we there yet? Hi, I'm Brendan Byrne. 50 years ago today, Frank Borman, James Lovell, and Bill Anders launched from the Kennedy Space Center atop a Saturn V rocket on humanity's first mission to the moon. The trio was the first to leave Earth's orbit and see the Earth as a whole planet. 3 days later, when they arrived at the moon, the crew could see the Earth rise above the lunar surface.
Oh my God, look at that picture over there. There's the Earth coming up. Wow, that pretty. Hey, don't take that. That's not scheduled. You got a color film, Jim? Hand me a roll of color, quick.
Oh, man, that's great.
Quick.
This photo, known as Earthrise, is called one of the most influential environmental photographs ever taken, and is probably the most famous photo taken from space. The Apollo 8 mission paved the way for future lunar landing missions, too. Now, a group of retired astronauts are remembering the mission and the photograph, and using it as a tool to inspire future generations of explorers. I spoke with one of those astronauts, Nicole Stott, about the significance of the image and how her new program, called Constellation, is inspiring others to view the planet from a different perspective. Well, joining us is Nicole Stott. She's a retired NASA astronaut, and she's speaking to us from St. Pete. Nicole, thanks for speaking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So we're almost at the 50th anniversary of Apollo 8 with the iconic Earthrise shot. Tell me what that is and why it's so important.
Wow. So Earthrise, I think, you know, if there's one image that everyone knows, it's Earthrise. And that's, you know, it is. It's this iconic image that the Apollo 8 crew took and shared for all of us. You know, Earthrise was the first time that human beings saw our planet in space, not just in space, but rising above the horizon of another planetary body. Mm-hmm. And absolutely the clearest way to understand who and where we are, you know, in this universe. And that, you know, we feel like we need to celebrate that. And it's, you know, the Apollo 8 guys were on this mission to the moon. They were the first human beings to go to the moon, and they were going to be circling around it. And like Bill Anders likes to say, you know, they went there to discover the moon, and they discovered our home, planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you were when you first saw that image?
You know, I don't, but yeah, I mean, I was 6 when that mission was going on, and I know my family was and still is, you know, space fans, and so I know we would have been watching it. I just don't, you know, remember it at that time, but I can tell you from the time, whenever that was that I saw it, it's just one of those images that I think sticks with you, kind of becomes part of you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the mission of Apollo 8 is kind of lost on some of the triumphs of Apollo 11, some of the trials of Apollo 13? I mean, this was a very, very important mission when it came to putting humans on the moon, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. It was, you know, when you think about it, these were the guys that were, you know, the first ones that were really going, you know, they didn't set down on the moon, but they got us there, and pretty incredible. And I don't think it gets lost. In fact, I think that when you look at how all of the following Apollo missions are communicated, they all come back to, you know, the messaging, the comm that went on with Apollo 8. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with sharing this view of Earth with everyone too, you know, whether you were standing on the moon or circling around it.
Now, Nicole, tell me a little bit about, because, you know, folks like me, I can only see that image of Earthrise and Apollo 8, but you're one of the few people who has actually seen Earth from a much different perspective than the rest of us. Tell me about that first moment when you caught a glimpse of our planet, not from the ground.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, you try to prepare yourself for things like that. And I think there's things we experience down here on Earth, too, that, you know, give you that same kind of sense of awe and wonder, you know, about who and where you are and your connectivity to everything and everyone. And I think that's, you know, aside from the absolutely stunning beauty of it, the almost like overwhelmingly impressive beauty of it, it really is this, I don't know, it's this experience that gets in you for sure. And it gets in you in a way that, you recognize that, wow, really simple things. You know, we live on a planet. You know, we're all earthlings, and the only border that matters is that thin blue line of atmosphere. And with that is the, you know, is the absolute undeniable, I guess, reality check of the interconnectivity of it all, of everything and everyone that's there.
What's kind of a feeling that you share with your fellow astronauts when you talk about that moment? You know, how do you describe it to each other? Is there a commonality between you all?
I think there absolutely is a commonality, and I think it comes down to that, you know, whether somebody spends, you know, communicates it more about the beauty of it or talks more about the, you know, this lack of borders kind of thing, or looks at it from the kind of the fragile nature of the planet. Every conversation does come down to this idea that, wow, we are all on a planet, this perfectly placed planet that, you know, provides for us so beautifully, so deliberately, I guess, and that there is no, like, us and them. It really is all us, you know, in the words of Buckminster Fuller, you know, riding on Spaceship Earth together. And what we try to say to each other, I think, is that we know how we work peacefully, successfully as crew on a space station. And all of us know that that's what we need to be doing down here together on Earth. You know, we need to be crew.
And how do you communicate that message? You know, I know you're working with some of your former astronaut colleagues now as a part of the Constellation Astronauts. Can you tell me the plans to kind of work together and spread that message?
Yeah, you know, we all, it's interesting, I think, and, you know, of course, we're all retired NASA astronauts and hopefully international astronauts that are coming together to do this. You know, we all individually, when we move on from NASA, are wanting to find ways to share this experience in the most meaningful, kind of impactful, and I would say empowering way for people. You know, to engage people in a way that they'll want to take action based on these lessons, you know, of who and where we are. And we just discovered that, wow, maybe, you know, there's opportunity for us to come together and do that too, to collectively share this experience in a way that inspires people and immerses them in, you know, some of what we got to experience, and then hopefully connects them to other people and organizations and activities going on that can allow them to take their own action and, you know, help create this, we like to call it Earthrise future. You know, look at what we saw with Earthrise, what we experienced living and working peacefully and successfully as an international community in space, and bring that back to Earth.
Mm-hmm. And kind of talk to me about the astronauts that you're working with now. Who are the current Constellation astronauts?
Okay, so the four that we have right now are myself, and then we have Anusha Ansari, we have Ron Guerin and Leland Melvin, and we have about 25 other international astronauts that we've communicated with and that are, you know, are ready to join us in this Constellation mission once we kick it off December 21st.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks will remember Leland for his famous NASA portrait with his dogs, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know, if I'd known, or if even thought that you could sneak your dogs in, I'd have been there right there with him. It's an awesome picture, yeah.
It sounds like this is a multinational, multi-race, multi-background kind of group and message that you're trying to spread in a time when there is a lot of divisiveness in this world. I mean, is what's happening now down here on Earth kind of another catalyst for you to do something and try to bring everyone together?
Well, I think it, you know, maybe it's maybe we just hit the timing right. I don't know. I think any time would have been good for us to do this. And, you know, it's certainly, I think, a positive thing now. You know, we live and work for the past 20 years. We have been living and working as what you just described, this diverse, multinational, multicultural, community in space for the last 20 years on the International Space Station. And I always use the words like peacefully, successfully, quietly, mm-hmm. even working this way on a space station. And, six crew members with one commander on board that station working this way, and tens of thousands of people across the, five different space agencies working peacefully, successfully together as well. And we really feel like, the space station, this model, this of like how we should be operating down here on Earth needs to be shared with everyone. Mm-hmm. And we think about it like it's a matter of scale. we have 16 countries working together now on this thing we built in space. Why not, however many countries there are down here on Earth, doing that same thing together as a crew of Spaceship Earth?
Tell me a little bit about how you kind of worked through that. Because, as a International Space Station astronaut, you had to learn to work with these other agencies like the Russian Space Agency, like the Canadian Space Agency. I mean, what kind of training did you go through? What kind of cultural training, language training did you have to become a multinational astronaut, basically?
It's funny. I think as an astronaut, pretty much all the training you're doing is how do you work as an effective and efficient team and, as a leader, as a follower, all those things you have to do to be, a successful team together. And I never found that there was, any huge barriers to doing that with any of our partner country, of our partner countries and the crew members and teams that we were working with. We certainly when I did my first mission to station, I trained for about 3 years going back and forth to all the different countries, over 50% of my time out of the U.S. training. So I'd be 4 weeks in Star City, Russia, 4 weeks at home, 3 weeks in Europe, home, Canada, and Japan. And you really discover very quickly the lesson that you end up learning in space is that, hey, we are all in this together. And, maybe it's kind of a Maslow thing. We all have the same basic needs. We're all trying to, live in a peaceful and happy way that we thrive wherever we are. And you come to know that everybody should be able to do that together. Mm-hmm. And I think the station has shown us that. I mean, the way we work on the space station, we just decided, here's the mission of the space station. All of us bought into it. And that doesn't mean that it's always everybody has the same priorities or everybody, wants to do the same experiments. But we also establish the rules of engagement, and then we work to those. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how you can get success from that. And then everybody's individual priorities can be satisfied, and the overarching mission as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the interesting things when you look at space history is you see how these grander goals for humanity kind of transcend the political issues that are happening down here on Earth, right? I'm thinking back to the Apollo-Soyuz missions and things like that.
Oh, my gosh. I think when we go back, it's why Apollo 8 to me is such a, just a really wonderful way to get people back engaged is, we're allowing people through Earthrise or the Apollo 8 crew did, for us to see that who and where we are. And then when you look at the kind of the evolution of our space programs around the world, all of it has ultimately been about more and more of us coming together. And Apollo Soyuz to me, oh my gosh, that is, you think about the crew members. I think about like Tom Stafford and Alexei Leonov.
Mm-hmm.
Those two men from the time they met were working together on this common goal, and they are like the best of friends today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, I don't know, I think, when you get to meet people and see how people live around the world that might be a little bit different to you, you realize that it's not bad that it's different. That it's different to you. It's just different to you. When we acknowledge that, it's amazing what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Does that give you hope that future space missions like a lunar space station or even a trip to Mars, you see leaders in space agencies saying, we can't do this alone. We have to be able to work with other nations and other corporations and collaborate on this. Does that give you optimism of the future that folks are recognizing that?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't think there's any going back now to any one nation doing these kinds of things on their own. I think we've very beautifully proven how this kind of cooperation can result in so much more mm-hmm. than, you know, what you can do with any one of our groups. I think that's true in everything, really. You know, it, when you mix it up, it just somehow seems to bring better success is the word. You know, you can be successful, but oh my gosh, imagine there are so many ways to be better successful.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, before I let you go, since we are talking about iconic images from space, is there a moment that you can recall on one of your three missions to the space station that really sticks out in your mind? Something that you saw or something that you bring back that you hold near and dear to your heart?
I think the thing that sticks out to me is I remember, you know, first getting to space and wanting to look out the window and see things that were familiar to me. You know, I mean, the whole view is kind of shocking, you know, in a very positive way. But I wanted to see Florida from space because I considered Florida my home. And I thought it was so cool how seeing Florida from space eventually became not about seeing Florida, but seeing Florida as part of this planet, as part of Earth that's my home. And you don't even realize when that happens. It just kind of naturally happens. And I think that's the thing that stands out to me is you are always surprised when you look out that window, but in the end, what you realize is that, wow, that place, that whole place is my home.
Well, Nicole Stott, she's a retired NASA astronaut, took three trips into space, and she will be at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex December 21st for the launch of the Constellation program. Nicole Stott, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much, and I hope we'll see you there.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you've got questions or ideas for upcoming guests, let me know. Email me at arewethereyet@wmfe.org or hit me up on Twitter. I'm @SpaceBrendan. And while you're at it, be sure to rate and review this podcast so more people can explore exploration with us. You can find more content by following the show on Twitter @AWTYMars. Get it, Are We There Yet Mars? Or looking for us on Facebook and giving that page a like. Support for Are We There Yet comes from our listeners. Our theme music was composed by Kevin McLeod. You can find more space news online at wmfe.org/space. Until next time, I'm Brendan Byrne. Thanks for listening.